Yeah, man. Bad moon on the rise.
Tom Metzger, Terry Bottani, come on down. You're the host of the Insurgent Radio Network, broadcasting live from the bunker in North Central Indiana, right next to Terry Bottani's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to eat, but mostly drink. Also nearby is Terrible Tommy's Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard, where you can purchase a freshly refurbished weapon of mass destruction for pennies on the dollar, if the price is right. You can reach Tom at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Address your letters and mail to Tom Metzger, the Insurgent, or just plain old box holder. Good old Tommy will get it.
Get it. Hey, did you hear about this? The the hedge fund people. They got some big real estate deals going on down in Florida. You know, the housing market's been weak, and you could buy a house, you know, a lot cheaper in the last couple of years, maybe more. But the problem is, the prices are going back up real fast now, not only in Florida, but all over the country, because the usual suspects are back at it. The big hedge funds and investment outfits are buying up real estate from coast to coast. And guess what? They're going to hold it for a while and then push that price right on back up. And they'll say, we got a rising real estate market and brag all about it. But who gets screwed? You do. But, those bastards, people keep worrying about enemies in other countries when we should be hanging our enemies here. I was out changing my internationally known Terrible Tommy sign in front of my house this morning, and a nice white lady pulled up in a big old white pickup and said, you know, I like what you put on that sign. And I like your letter to the paper. And I didn't agree with you, but boy, I'll tell you, I'm agreeing with you now. Our kids are going to really have it tough. I said, that's for sure. So the word gets around. In fact, on that Google satellite view, like I told you yesterday, you can see my damn sign, because if you put on the 3D, you can go around a circle and zero right in on something. And luckily, it's those pictures are only taken once in a while. I mean, maybe every 5 years or something. But anyhow, that sign is out there, and you can see it. It's got an old words on it and so forth like that. But so, actually, anybody in the world can see my sign. How about that? Yeah. But she was real. She said, you're right about all this stuff. And so we got another convert. Of course, when I went back in my house, my honey said, who are you talking to? I said, that was a fine white lady with blonde hair. Must live down the road here someplace. You think so? I said, well, I don't know for sure. See, I've got the sexiest sign in town, man. So I changed it this morning, and I put on there, Carrie is a dick. So we get hundreds of cars go by here every day that quitting time and going to work time at the plants. So they're going to see what I think about that nut Carrie. I think he's senile already, the way he talks. He talks like he's in another time warp. So anyhow, this, what is it, Blackboard or some one of those big companies buying up all this property. And then they'll raise those prices right on back up there, boys, and keep you in mortgage bondage forever. I truly think buying a house is pretty much of a waste of time nowadays, the way things are. If I was starting all over, I'd just go out someplace way out from town and buy me a lot and get a backhoe out there and dig me a big old rectangular hole, and then I'd put some concrete forms in there and put the walls in and everything and put the electrical and conduits in the floor and then put whatever roof I want on it and put the dirt back on the top and plant some posies up there or onions or marijuana. I mean, wait a minute, not marijuana, but anyhow, and to hell with it all. And you can build something like that cheap. I mean, you can rent the forms for your walls quite reasonable. And then basically the 90% or 85% of your costs are going to be just concrete. Got to have... Now, you won't have any windows, except maybe you might want to do it on one side, like you build it into a side of a hill or something. But really, you don't need that, because nowadays with these big 50, 60, 80-inch flat screens, you can put them on the wall, put a color camera, put at least one color camera up there or with a motor on it, or have four color cameras and switch, and you can be looking out across your property all day long. Anyhow, either that or get yourself a used mobile home. You can buy mobile homes, used ones, quite cheap. I remember one time I bought about a 50 footer for a couple of $1,000. And if you're far enough out where nobody's going to give you any trouble, then you just simply buy yourself like four 30 or 40 foot single wide trailers and put them in a square and have a courtyard in the middle, and away you go. You got a big place, all the bedrooms you'd ever want. Otherwise, you're going to be a mortgage slave the rest of your life and be working for the bank. Well, they just had a poll. You know how polls are. And I don't mean from Poland. They say one-third of American workers, from evangelical Christians to atheists, have experienced or witnessed religious bias while on the job, according to a new report from the Tannenbaum Center for Interreligious Understanding and Public Religion Research. The study, What American Workers Really Think About Religion, Tannenbaum's 2013 Survey of American Workers and Religion, polled a representative sample of more than 2,000 American workers about their experiences with religious discrimination at work and in society at large. According to this survey, three groups of American workers, religious minorities, white evangelical Protestants and atheists, are the most likely to experience religious bias on the job. I think that about evangelical, white evangelical Protestants is a bunch of BS, because their main thing in life is recruiting and evangelizing and drafting and coaxing people into their church, no matter what they have to do it. And these are the Christian Zionists that drive us so crazy. So if they've got problems on the job, it's probably because they're causing it themselves. Because the guys that always show up at my door are evangelicals, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or Seventh-day Adventists. So I don't think that they're going to be really bothered that much on the job unless they start the argument. Well, the Jews had an article in one of their magazines about the controversy in Poland over the notorious 18th century painting depicting Jews as child killers, as prompted a historical and interfaith effort at reconciliation. Well, it's interesting to me that the same church that created all these so-called things that happened way back then, which none of us can prove one way or the other, now has come around to say, well, we're sorry, we didn't mean it. But it was all, both Judaism and Christianity are two different control mechanisms. However, the Christians have borrowed this mythology and nationalism of the Jews, of so-called Jews, whatever they are, Hebaru or whatever, and used it. And in the attempt to strengthen the Catholic Church way back in, back there, and separate themselves from their obvious genesis among the Jews, I'm sure there's a hell of a lot of these so-called blood libel things were promoted, and to keep them separate and make the Catholic Church seem like the great big daddy doing all good. So I wrote back and I sent this out to you. Let's see here. Most of the wild claims against the Jews way back was simply a way of keeping dumb white Christians corralled. Now I'm probably going to get some email. Oh, Metzger, you've gone off the tracks, man. You're with the Jews now. Well, you see, I don't accept Jews as a race. You see, that's the difference between me and a lot of people. Jews come in any race they decide to commingle with. And that's their strength of infiltrating other races. With their mental ideas and their mythology and their, what do you call it? Their conspiracies. Because Judaism, if it's anything, is a conspiracy. And if you try to look at it as race, you screw up. You try to look at it as religion, you'll screw up. Even though both are used to keep them going and keep them suppressed into a small amount of the population. Well, anyhow, over the years, the church kept it up as a control tool. We don't need to use old and mostly concocted church stories to condemn the Jew business. The true crimes of these flying under the Jew conspiracy are guilty of far worse provable crimes in this century. To me, the greatest crime of the Jews was to foist the fake Christian myths upon us. But look at the Civil War. There was Jewish financial interests in it, especially the control item of cotton. And everybody knows that. And also the slave ships that were owned by and captained by many Jews. And so in the First World War, when the Jews collectively sent a group to Woodrow Wilson pleading for us to get into the war, there's another Jew crime, much worse than trying to prove some blood libel of some Jew eating a baby back in the 13th century. And then World War II. It was nothing but a Jew harvest, but a Jew conspiratorial harvest. Not so much a religious harvest at all. Religion is used by as a cover. Much the same way the ruling class of the whites, of us whites, use Christianity as a cover. I hate to upset people, but unless I had absolute proof, I don't believe that Jews were sitting around drinking blood out of kids that they've killed. I just, you know, I can think of horrible things like I just mentioned about their financial manipulations being strongly behind most wars. That's easy for me to believe because it can be proved. But trying to go back to that, those type of blood libel type things that the church promoted, and it then come back now and the church saying, oh, we're sorry we did it. Well, how many people did that cause to be murdered and killed? I mean, on both sides over the centuries. So let's just, let's make a deal. It's a conspiracy against all men, Judaism. And let's just keep it that way. And the Jews come in all races. And you can have a religious Jew or an atheist Jew. You can have any kind of Jew you want. And then if you're going to be anti-Jewish, anti-Jew, then you've got to be anti-Christian. Well, you don't have to be. But the logic is there. I mean, open up that handbook of the Christians and the Old Testament. That's all Jewish. Jewish nationalism and fantastic stories and myths of these great things and evil things that the Jews did. They tell you what genocidal maniacs they are. And so why is it so hard for anybody to believe that they could have set up the whole 6 million thing and were willing to sacrifice a third of their race if they had to, just to get the control of the world economy and so forth through the state of Israel? If those Jews, how many there were of them, hadn't died in World War II, and I have no way of knowing how many it was, but we know it wasn't 6 million, then they wouldn't have had Israel. They would maybe have gotten Ghana or someplace like that, or maybe not at all, because the smart Jews don't believe in a centralized target, just like I don't believe in a centralized target. I don't think our racial associations should ever move right next to each other and start camps up and all that stuff. No, that's our weakness, because it always just draws in weak and weak white people to these things, thinking if they're around strong white people, it'll make them strong. But anyhow, to say you're going to oppose the Jews, let's use the evidence that's plainly in front of us, that we can still get newspaper articles that talk about it in this last 20th century, and now going into 21st century. All the evidence we need about the Jews is pretty current historically. But if you're going to talk to about your having this tremendous problem with the Jews, and you don't have a tremendous problem with Christianity, you're fooling yourself. You're kidding yourself. And you're believing that in things that are totally impossible, never happened. The 6 million is based on the same kind of magic that the risen Jesus is based on. It's nonsense. It's Jewish fables. And remember, all these guys that were supposed to have been involved with this so-called Jesus in the beginning were Jews, and they brought it into Europe. Oh, man, I tell you, you can't solve a problem unless you go to the core, the basis of the problem. So I think we would be better off spreading the believable idea that the Jews have been sacrificed for the ruthless people at the top, whether they be Jewish or not. I mean, the common Jew. He's just as much a slave and deluded as a Christian. He's a slave of either the religion or the ethics of the Jew or you name it. So I think in the 21st century we should look at things a little bit more close to home historically, and there are still people, Christian identity and so forth, still putting out those old pictures of draining the blood out of kids. Well, I want to tell you that when you go back to the 12th, 13th, 14th century, or way back there, there was pedophilia back then. I mean, they enslaved kids and everything else, so it's not without a theory or belief that all kinds of terrible things went on among the Christians and the Jews. So to narrow in on and say, well, that was just a few rabbis that did that in some kind of a ceremony, maybe it could have happened, but there were equally vicious, terrible things happening among the Christians too, and their attitudes toward, they were burning people at the stake, everything like that. They were putting them in the stretch machines or putting them in between horses going different ways and tearing them apart. I mean, so anyhow, I think we ought to just ignore that stuff, because that's just a trap to go back into that kind of blood libel stuff. And let's stick to their blood libel today. Iraq, or they want to go after Iran, Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. That's blood libel to me. That's my blood libel. And the white people join in with it, because Intel now built, and I told you this years ago, they built the largest semiconductor plant in the world in Vietnam. And Americans, white Americans, even white veterans, are gleefully going back to Vietnam and vacationing. How could, with the haunting of the thousands and tens of thousands of guys that were slaughtered, how can you go back to a country like that and feel comfortable, be happy, celebrate, take a vacation? I just can't see it, when they never did get all of our guys out of there, and a lot of them were kept as slaves up until just, according to some of the new books, just the last few years. But before we get down on the Vietnamese, we shouldn't have been there in the first place. We shouldn't have been in Korea in the first place. That was all part of the capitalist mercantile method of splitting countries up and then draining them of their goodies and their resources and so forth, and establish South Korea as a fantastically large industrial area and deindustrialize the United States. We never should have been there. And of course, the Vietnamese, I respect the Vietnamese for fighting viciously back at us. I mean, when you go into another man's country and you take it over, you kick the doors in, you got to expect they're going to kill you if they can, any way they can. So anyhow, that's these wars are blood libel. We don't need any other evidence. And any time you see them start working on another hot spot in the world, like now they're trying to get the Ukraine thing going, the only thing that's stopping it is that Americans are broke and they're getting sick and tired of wars all the time. They seem to have no problem with a war once in a while. They don't care at all. In fact, they sort of dip into the blood and drink it. As far as I'm concerned, Americans are warmongers. And I guess the reason they're warmongers is they never had their ass truly beaten and conquered and thrown into the ground, you know, like other countries. I guess you need it once in a while. It's too bad. But if you become powerful and an empire and going to push your weight around all over the world, well, people are going to push back. And you're damn lucky that there's nobody brought a suitcase A-bomb into this country yet. You're damn lucky that there haven't been 15 9/11s in this country. No matter who did it, you know? So, anyhow, that's my position for today, and if you've got a different position, let me know what it is. You know, this neo-Nazi thing over there, supposedly in the Ukraine, bothers me, because it bothers me about going all the way back into pre-World War II, which never needed to happen. The greatest error that the white race has possibly ever made, other than World War I. And there's a lot of right-wingers in this country that they believe in individual rights and you should, and tribal rights, and you should stand up for your people and all that kind of stuff. But they have this dual thing where they worship the German military during World War II and Hitler. And nobody's, very few seem to understand that National Socialism ceased to be National Socialism at a point in what, 1939, 1938? Once it went military and to external warfare, National Socialism was out of the picture. You could call it National Capitalism or whatever you want to call it. Now, things are so confused now because of this in these Eastern European countries, to where most people who fought on the side of the Russians were not communists. And when they were defending their property, their land, they were correct. And when the Germans were fighting for their country at the end, they were correct. But both were wrong for tramping over all the other countries. No matter how many of these countries had friends that liked them and so forth, I'm sure that the anti-communists in these countries were thrilled to death that the German military was coming through maybe to help them. But that didn't mean they should become Nazis, and that shouldn't mean that the people who didn't want them there should have any love for them. So in any up-to-date conflict, this old canard crap should be kept out of it. You're either a Ukrainian nationalist or you're not. You're not a Nazi. You're not even really a fascist by the strict meaning of the word. Is there a fascist party? Well, they say this, what, Skoboba or whatever it is? They say it's a neo-Nazi party. No, it's Skoboba. Now, if they're letting these World War II worshippers of the Wehrmacht in, well, that's one thing. But they're not Nazis. I mean, they're not National Socialists. They may be what the Jews call neo-Nazis, which now they've screwed up America with the term neo-Nazi. Anybody that's racially conscious is a neo-Nazi like that. And now they're using the same term in Europe. And now they've got some young people, white people, from Germany and Britain, going down to Ukraine to fight for this corrupt system that has usurped power in the Ukraine. And then it gets all mixed up with this, but really it's not so mixed up as you'd think, because really for the capitalists and the Euros to employ so-called neo-Nazis is not abnormal, because that's what they've done all over the place. Like I said, I have detailed information on how the CIA has used various National Socialists in this country and in my lifetime. I know who they are. And I know they were up to no good. But yet they were going around calling themselves National Socialists. Well, I guess if you want to use a derogatory term, they were neo-Nazis. As far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of difference between a so-called neo-Nazi and, in most cases, a National Socialist. So this thing has gotten so screwed up down there that... and all coming out of World War II when 20 million Russians died. I mean, you know, and millions of Germans and French and everybody else died. But we should be coming together with these people. And our alliance should be over blood and race and not just nationalism. But in Greece, we got this same problem with this Golden Dawn. They're trying to mimic the people who invaded them, whether you like it or not, or whether it was for the invasion or not. They were invaded by the German military. And you don't need that. Put all that to bed. That's over and done with. You're either a Greek nationalist or maybe a Greek racist or whatever, but forget about World War II. This is a new day. Otherwise, things are so screwed up that it's almost impossible for anybody to know what's going on. And so I won't support any of these so-called neo-Nazis, no matter how they want to go into these countries and stir up the shit. They're just causing more trouble. Like some of them evidently were involved in sniper attacks on people on both sides of the argument in Ukraine. And I've seen some of these guys that are supposedly National Socialists, neo-Nazis, and the ones I saw speaking, believe me, they acted more like renegade skinheads or motorcycle gang guys than political people. So anyhow, don't get sucked into this thing. It's obviously the Ukrainians screwed up. They were enticed to going to go into the EU, and the EU was just going to put these stringent rules on them, and the IMF, that they would have stolen everything that Ukraine had. And stupidly, they turned against the so-called democratically elected president and opted out for the Jew EU in the West, when their logical connection to Russia is undeniable. And yeah, they have some axes to grind with Russia, of course, as World War II and all those other years, too. I mean, you know, no doubt about that, but they have more in common with the Russian than they do with the so-called West. So, and Putin, I don't back any world leader as far as that's concerned. They all have dirty, bloody hands as far as I'm concerned. But in this particular situation, Putin's playing it, from what I can see, from afar, the right way. And he's got the people on his side over there. And he's got a lot of Americans on his side, for at least on this issue. But you can sure tell what's going on when you listen to these spokesman in Washington, now the lies are so evident. They're so out in the open, their lies, the same lies they used on us for Iraq and Central America and Cuba, you name it. So, if you're a social nationalist or a national socialist or a populist or whatever, keep your powder dry. Don't join into this right-wing nonsense that's going on in other countries, because most of it is not good for your race and not good for you. You know, the Republican Party has become the major war party. Democrats are war party number two. And we got people like this Peter King, I believe is his first name, out of West Babylon, New York, this congressman with a constant scowl on his that damn face. Warmonger number one. Well, let's ship him over there and put him right out front. Put a fucking pot on his head and give him a rifle. Listen to what he's got to say here.
Answer from the administration on what the best offense is at this point against Russia to stop him in his tracks, him being President Putin. He's already crossed a line. There are people in the region worried about him doing more, and he may just ultimately annex. He may take Crimea back into Russia. What does the U.S. do about it?
I think we have to make it clear there will be firm sanctions. I think we should freeze the assets of any of the Russian oligarchs in this country, people close to Putin. We have to increase military support for the Baltic states, increase military support for Poland and Hungary, and make it absolutely clear that these sanctions are going to be enforced. And we have to make sure the allies are working together. These are, we have to make tough, ironclad sanctions on Russia. There's no silver bullet. We have to sustain it and keep it going. But I think the first thing to hit home will be to freeze the assets of Russian oligarchs and top Russians in this country and throughout the Western world.
Is our energy policy our best offense here? Do we say to Europe, look, we're going to lift some of the restrictions on exporting natural gas. We want to become a bigger partner to you in terms of where you get your natural gas instead of Russia. Do you think that's how to apply pressure on Putin?
David, that has to be an integral part of it. We have to increase exports of liquefied natural gas. These countries like England and others and Germany cannot be forced to rely on Russia for the LNG they get. The natural gas has to be, we have enough to supply so many countries in the world, and we should right now start lifting restrictions. We should begin the exporting as quickly as we possibly can. And again, that's not going to work in the short term, but it can relieve some of the pressure, and it can help these countries set their long-term policy to realize they are not going to be bound to Russia for the LNG.
Well, now, did you get that message, boys and girls? Did you get that message? Hey, we got to start fracking more, right? the secret behind the whole thing, make more money. We got to tear up North American real estate and frack the shit out of the place. Open up the innards of the country. Because we got to help these people over there. And we don't want Russia to be helping them. We got to help them. This guy is a warmongering son of a bitch, and he's anti-environmentalist because, and who's paying for all this shit he's talking about? Where are we borrowing the money to do this now? I mean, these guys never spend their money. These guys just keep getting raises, and they're in the Congress, and they're multimillionaires. These people need to be taken out and hung. Oh, incidentally, you know my world-famous sign in front of my house? My free speech sign lighted at night? Well, I got a visit about 10 minutes ago from the sheriff, and I had changed the sign to say Kerry is a dick, which he definitely is. Probably more than a penis. He's a dick. Well, anyhow, he was laughing about it, and he said somebody down the road complained that the little kids on the school buses would see that. Can you imagine any kid in a school today that don't know what dick means? Shit, they could teach these people messages. I think I know who it is. There's a school bus driver around here. A lady, and she, for some reason, she hates my guts. But anyhow, I said, sorry, officer, no, I won't take that down. He said, no, that's okay. I just have to follow through on it. He was very polite about it. So I said to myself, well, I've got to better answer. I went out and added to my sign. Now it reads, carries a dick and a SOB. She'll run off the road with that one. But I have had two or three people stop by today and tell me they like the sign, so we're winning the sign battle. And that gal doesn't even live around here if it's the same one that's complaining. She drives a school bus, you know. I can imagine all her kids on the bus saying, "Ma'am, what does dick mean?" Are you kidding? I'll bet you didn't see this one on the news. 50,000 Haredim march so only other Jews die in the war. So the mainline Jews in Israel and around are pissed off at the Orthodox. So it shows a picture as far as you can see downtown Manhattan of these black-coated, black-hatted people. Well, this is all about the fact that they're going to be drafted now over there in Israel. They've been out of the draft ever since Israel was created. Says here, they flooded downtown Manhattan with an anti-draft for Haredim message. Everybody else is welcome to get themselves killed. What was even more astonishing was their honesty regarding the bankruptcy of their entire school of faith and study. Oh, boy. Wow. Let's see what else it says here. For the record, I believe the new Sheked Leped Bennett draft law in Israel is by far worse than the one that came to replace the Tal law. Most importantly, because the Tal law was getting results without the idiotic, needless, divisive rancor generated by the new legislation killing the Tal law, or rather issuing an edict that it had been replaced by something that would work faster, was parting poisonous gift of Chief Justice Don't Benesh in Israel, protege of that beacon of light into the nation's Chief Justice Aaron, evil genius Barak. Since we've seen one demonstration of a few hundred thousand Haredim against the new law in Jerusalem, but not a single day's work was lost. And yesterday in downtown Manhattan, another 50,000 Haredim marched to condemn the evil decree. Well, if they're anti-war, what's wrong with them not marching, not responding to the draft? I don't think anybody should respond to that crap. Because name me a war that the white people haven't been screwed. Well, maybe the Jews got a good idea there. They're not going to go. But boy, that's some picture of 50,000 of them in downtown Manhattan. Man, it looks like the, I don't know what you'd call that, the convention of the penguins or something. But if you see that on any national network news, that picture and that story, much about it, let me know, because I just doubt whether it'll be there. Now, these guys, Orthodox, have a website, and they say, "We're all united against military service for religious men in Israel because it doesn't allow for religious learning," said Peggy Blyer, an interior designer from Brooklyn. Quote, "The Israeli government is looking to destroy religious societies and make the country into a secular melting pot." Well, they need more time to study Judaism. Well, if it keeps them from killing people, maybe that's all right. You know, so what? You know, don't give them a rifle. They'll go out and kill some poor Palestinian, probably wanting more troops so they can get ready to go and kill Iranians, you know. So you Orthodox, just keep studying your religious stuff there, man. Be pacifist. Be passive, yeah. Don't be like that nitwit and want to bomb everybody. Do you realize the Jews have a Purim card they send out to people on celebrating Purim, which is celebrating murder and genocide against non-Jews? Do you know what Purim's all about? Well, if you don't, you better check it out. But don't take their word for what happened either. But people, I guess pretty soon they'll be sending out Holocaust cards. Hey, maybe I ought to start putting those out, selling them to the Jews. Well, I received a message from Matt Hill's mother, Evelyn Hutchison, and it's a petition for Matt Hill to be allowed to take a lie detector test. Now, I'll pass this thing along, but I don't think it has a hope in hell of affecting his incarceration at all. I don't think if he passes it, it'll have any effect on his... might possibly, in a long stretch, get him cut a few years off, but once those bastards get a hold of you, they don't want to let you go no matter what, even if you're proven innocent. I've seen that in court cases many times. Even people who were proven innocent, or at least close to proven innocent, still didn't get out of prison. So I go along with this stuff, I think, to make them feel good than anything else, because you just don't realize how cynical and how rotten these bastards are in the federal courts and in most courts. So don't think I'm naive if I pass this on to you. They want us all to sign a petition. Well, I don't know whether that's wise or not, to get your name on a petition. I just don't think it's going to do any good. Remember, lie detection results are not usable in court anyhow. And the reason that is, a lawyer friend of mine told me a long time ago, the reason they don't allow lie detector results in court is because everybody in court is lying. Everybody. Well, here's one I'll bet you didn't hear about in the news. The Dominican Republic's Ministry of Culture is defending its decision to approve a group wearing Ku Klux Klan costumes during the country's annual carnival parade in the capital of Santo Domingo on Sunday, El Caribe reported. The images of participants in the carnival dressed as KKK members sparked criticism of the Ministry of Culture, which approves the groups who request to join the parade. In a series of tweets posted Monday, the government ministry said the group was part of a segment of the parade dedicated to commemorating historical events. Quote, every group is free to choose their themes, whether using elements of the Dominican identity or universal culture in their costumes, unquote. The ministry tweeted. Another tweet noted that the Dominican Republic is a free country where people are at liberty to express their creativity. Every group is free to choose their themes, whether those elements are Dominican identity or universal culture of costumes, the ministry tweeted. Another tweet noted that the Dominican... Am I repeating myself here? Anyhow, in a later statement, the Ministry of Culture said the group's KKK costumes were intended as a criticism of the U.S. white supremacist organization that has often used racially motivated violence. The ministry explanation didn't convince everyone. Quote, if the point was to demonstrate the obscurantism of a historical period, the message didn't come through, said Twitter user Neves Peregro. Blog Latino Rebels, which picked up on the story shortly after it broke in the Dominican press on Monday, also took a critical tone. Quote, if the KKK procession was meant to be humorous or satirical, it obviously failed, Iris Estrada wrote. The Dominican Republic has made news for racial issues recently. A Supreme Court ruling issued last year required the elimination of birthright citizenship to be applied retroactively, jeopardizing the legal status of thousands of Negro-Haitian immigrants and their Dominican-born children, the vast majority of who are black. Human rights groups estimate the ruling could strip more than 200,000 people of citizenship, while the Dominican government says the figure is lower. Those Dominicans are trying to get rid of the niggas down there. so they march the KKK through town. Sounds like the KKK is freer freer to march and organize in the Dominican Republic than they are in the South. How about that? Now listen to some of the comments about this particular article. Here's one from Canada. Really? KKK? What's next? The David Lynch mob? Oh, David Lynch? Our guy? He'd be happy to hear that. Go tell it on the mountain. It's a message to all blacks in Dominica. Imagine that. A denial and a threat to their root. Who did they think cleared the land and made Dominica what it is today? Well, horses did it too, but they didn't make them citizens. Again, a devaluation of black lives and rights, post-colonial snobbery, a leftover of the Spanish values. But elsewhere, Spain, people are proudly demonstrating their newfound Moors, past and bloodlines. Not in Dominica. Well, shame on you Spaniards if you're doing that. Here's one from Bowie State University. I think that's in the States. Dominican Republic is off my list for vacation spots. Oh, okay, snob. Next one was, why would anyone be associated with such a vile organization? Let's see. Cowards is all they are. You are so proud, take off your damn sheets. Well, I never wore a Klan robe in public when I led the Klan. Only in ceremony, secret ceremony. And I never made it a practice of wearing a mask either, because I felt that was not very, you know, gentlemanly. And then here's another one. Higgs Gerard. Yeah, unfortunately, the list is going to be long. Well, I don't know what that's all about. Here we go from Seattle University. Some people are proud to be racist, and other countries, other than America, it's not only one. No, this is not funny, but maybe it's educational. Maybe I should see this country for who or what it is as well. If I'm not mistaken, they are darker than me, and I'm proud to be an African, black, and spiritual. All I can say is, your loss. Well, that's okay. Let's see. What's this next one say? This is from Laverne in Cambridge, Maryland. If I were to walk the streets covered, immediately I would be locked the fuck up. Duh. I know that all the top officials are KKKs anyway. So that's some of the comments that maybe we ought to immigrate to Dominican Republic and help them push those Haitians back across the mountain and maybe that's the place we should go, huh? What do you think? Or at least have maybe a winter home down there, a little thatched roof hut, have little darkies bringing this mint juleps and all that some shit, living like the master on a plantation, man. Well, if you get on your horse fast enough, you can go to this meeting out in Deadwood, South Dakota. Yeah. Deadwood History Incorporated and the Deadwood Historic Preservation Commission will present a lecture by Charles Rambo. I can't believe that one. Rambo. South Dakota author and historian at noon Thursday, March the 13th. That's coming up. If you live out there in South Dakota, if you're around Deadwood, at the Homestake Adams Research and Cultural Center, 150 Sherman Street. The event is wheelchair accessible. Okay. And you're encouraged to bring your own lunch. Rambo will discuss the Ku Klux Klan in the Black Hills of South Dakota during the 20s. They were everywhere, man. The historian chose the Ku Klux Klan for his master's research paper after discovering his family's involvement with the dirty KKK. Rainbow will explore the four local claverns and share the unique stories garnered from eyewitnesses. Much of Rambo's knowledge is outlined in his book entitled Bear Butte. That's B-E-A-R, B-U-T-T-E, Journeys to the Sacred Mountain, unquote. He's the founding member of the Black Hills Archaeology Society and sheriff of the Western's Corral No. 8, a group of Western riders. Well, there you go. Might be interesting. If I had a Wayback Machine or a Time Machine, I'd go to a lot of places. That might be an interesting book to pick up, because there's a lot of little jewels and little historical stories like that that might be beneficial and or at least interesting to other white separatists. Well, we still got some friends down there in South Africa. I hope they're mostly lone wolves and keeping their powder dry for a resurgence. No, not a resurgence of reactionary right-wing racism. I'm talking about advanced, unconventional warfare racism. Here's an article from down under, or down there. This country seems unable to deal with hate speech. Well, you know as well as I do, speech is speech. It can be hateful or not hateful, but... And demeaning comments, writes Pinky Kubamawana, Black. When South Africans go to the polls on May 7th, which is always a waste of time, it will be exactly 2 years and 4 days since Kenneth Sinclair unleashed his hateful vitriol against Black South Africans on Facebook and was able to get away with it. Of course, if you believe in free speech, would you rather have him come at you with a gun or put a note on Facebook? It's, you know. His utterances and resultant response of Chapter 9 institutions bring sharp scrutiny on this country's inability to deal with racism. In other words, they want Black dictatorship. Always Black dictatorship. That's what they want here, too. I'm telling you, I've got some stuff on my recorder that I get off Black radio in this country that should make your little hairs stand on end. Unlike England, for example, where racism is criminalized and those who dare to rant publicly are dealt with speedily and efficiently, South Africa, as with almost everything it negotiated during CODESA, has accommodated racists by developing institutions which neither have the will nor the inclination to deal harshly with those who inflict the pain of racism and undermine the dignity of others in the process. Remember, it's whites that allowed all this shit to happen in South Africa, and whites that allowed all this shit to happen in England, and whites that allow all this shit in the United States. So, before you go out and get so damn mad at a Black person, you gotta go through 5,000 white people to get to them. So, it's time to straighten out our race by any means possible. And hopefully the system itself is going to help us by pauperizing them and putting them into a serf position. Root hog or die. On May 3rd, 2012, Sinclair, a student at the Cape Peninsula University of Technology, opened his tirade thus. Seriously, 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 had enough of Blacks in this country? Arrogant, blank, blank, nigger swine. And I will make it my Facebook status because I want them all to know you are all fucking all without whites. And you would still be in your little mud huts. He didn't stop there, making his hatred against Blacks very evident on a platform which would allow him to reach. Quote, if you aren't racist, go spend a day in Cape Tech in town. You will want to join the KKK when you're done. Fucking brain dead monkeys. Sinclair's references to the KKK, a far-right extremist group that advocates white supremacy and has historically expressed its views through terror attacks on and murder of Black people in the U.S., stood to incite the violence against Blacks and constitutes hate speech. In fact, one of those responding to Sinclair's update is a certain Michael Collis, responded, quote, "Sometimes I just want to pull out a fucking pump-action shotgun and do the deed. Fuck," unquote. It will also be 2 years and 6 months, or a few months, since members of the extremist far-right Afrikaner Verstandewikiswikiwak chanted Bove John Klim de Berg at blacks who were outside court during the murder trial of the organization's leader and ex-cop Terre Blanche. Sorry, boys, I never trusted Terre Blanche. They acted out their right-wing reactionary kind of resistance, which got them nowhere, got several of them killed. When if they'd have fought an unconventional warfare and taken over the armaments storage and everything, even nuclear bombs, and told them, you better leave us alone or we'll detonate. Well, there's other ways to do it too, but you can't do it like right-wing reactionaries because, you know, it really points a finger, because I know a lot of them are smarter than the act, that they... they're controlled by the same hand that controls the left. The Jew left, the Jew right, pulling the strings. This was a few months after Judge Colin Lamont had ruled against the singing of the struggle song. Shoot the Boer was the title of that song. In other words, shoot white people. In favor of Afroforum, another racist formation that masquerades as a civil rights movement. Well, I think they should legalize it all. I don't care if the niggers want to sing Shoot the Boer. They should have their freedom to do it. If whites say shoot the nigger, the Kaffir, well, that should be okay, too. Interestingly, the same AFRA forum didn't lodge a complaint against the AWB, even though in an email to me, Callie Creel, its leader, confirmed the chants were racist. The DA, which had also been vocal and had previously lodged hate speech complaints against ANC representatives, was surprisingly quiet. A question I lodged on the website asking whether they would be laying a complaint against the AWB was not even answered. I lodged complaints of hate speech against the AWB and Sinclair with the South African Human Rights Commission and Equality Court. I also lodged a case of criminal injuria against Sinclair with the SAPS. I'll deal with the case of the Sinclair first. Well, anyhow, it goes on and on and on. One guy just had the guts to get onto Facebook and say what he thought, and the whole roof caves in. You think you're ever going to be able to reach a peaceful solution to this black-white thing? Believe me, I've been down that road. It ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. Well, that's it for today, boys and girls. Tune in tomorrow, Tuesday, for Stray Dog. Supposed to be on here, and I'm sure he will be. And we'll be here, too. And if I didn't offend somebody today, well, tune in tomorrow, and I'll try harder. How about that? And do you notice, are you being niggerboarded by these ads? You notice how fast they're putting blacks in all the ads? I mean, almost every ad is blacks now. Did you notice that? Not much Mexicans or mestizos, but blacks. So all you white people that made a living off making television ads, and all you young girl models that made money off being in ads, forget it. You lost it. You called us a bunch of bastards and you lost your vocation. Now what are you going to do? Panhandle? Let's close out with another John Fogerty song.
been coming down. Clouds of mystery pouring, confusion on the ground. Good men through the ages trying to find the sun. And I wonder who'd stop the rain. I went down Virginia seeking shelter from the storm.
Singing for now. Let me see. There was something I was going to say. Oh, yeah, this show today is dedicated to, guess who? Richard Butler, Pastor Richard Butler. This particular show is dedicated to him today. All right. 14:5.